Our scripture lesson this morning is not printed on your bulletin. John and I used different scriptures this morning, and so I said, well, his needed to be on the front. There wasn't room for both. I ended up wanting to do pretty much the whole chapter of John chapter 11. So I won't read the whole thing to everybody, to y'all, but I'm gonna start with a little background. And so this is from John chapter 11, and this is the story of Jesus coming and meeting Mary and Martha and finding that his friend Lazarus has died. So it starts with these words, really. It starts with, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." According to John, Mary was the one who had anointed Jesus' feet with oil. And even though they sent word for Jesus to come right away, and even though he loved them all three very well, he still waited 2 days before he even began to travel to Bethany. But when Jesus did finally get there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and she met him, while Mary, she stayed at home. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And then Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. So then Martha goes and she gets Mary. And Mary runs out to greet Jesus. And this is John chapter 11, verse 32 and following. It says, Mary runs out to see Jesus, and she falls at his feet and says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. May the Lord bless the reading of this, his holy word. So my question for us this morning is, what does a faithful response to death look like? As Christians, is it okay to be angry? Is it okay to grieve? Is it okay to feel the pain so deeply that you can hardly breathe? And how does a story like this one help my anger or help my grief? I remember as a teenager walking through a bookstore. It was a Christian bookstore, and it had sort of a bargain bin there in the very center of it. And inside this bargain bin of books, it had a book that was on healing and the power of prayer, and how healing, if you have enough faith, at least this was my interpretation of what I read from the front cover and the back cover and a few pages in between, if you had enough faith, then God would heal. If you had enough faith, if you believed enough, if you prayed enough that God would heal. Well, that was tough for me. Because my mother died of cancer when I was six. Had my family not had enough faith? Did we not believe enough? Did we not pray enough? The God I know and love, the God that I have grown up into and to have a relationship with, I have a hard time believing that that's the way that God operates. And so here is Mary and Martha. They ask questions of Jesus that I can relate to. Jesus, if you had only been here. Jesus, if you'd been here, if only. How many unanswered prayers do we have? How many? Jesus, why did you delay? If only you had answered my prayer, if only something had happened differently, if only anything had happened differently, if only you had been here. Jesus, if you can heal the blind man and you can cause the lame man to walk, could you not have healed this one, my loved one? And as much as I struggle with these questions in my own life, and as much as I want a simple, beautiful answer to say something, I have yet to fully grasp and be able to make sense of all of the things that go on in our lives. I do know one thing. I do know that through the life that we live, through every step that we take, that God uses all things to work good. I do know that. And in that I trust. And I chose this scripture for this morning specifically because it's hard. Because I think it gives me as many questions as it does answers. I struggle with it. It can be a bit difficult to hear in the midst of my own sorrows. I want to know a few things. First off, I want to know why Jesus cried, especially if he knew that he could raise Lazarus anyway. Why did he cry? Why was he weeping? If you were wondering the same thing, I hope that this will help, because I did a lot of research on this, and I read a lot of commentaries and a lot of different interpretations of this scripture. And what I learned is this: no one really knows. That's not super helpful. Some say it expresses his humanity. Some say it expresses his deep empathy for his friends who mourned so deeply, and for us as people. There are lots of theories, but not one single answer that a majority of these biblical scholars could point to. One thing we do know is that John says that Jesus was deeply moved and greatly disturbed. In other words, he is angry. Jesus shows great emotion in this text. Now, we've seen Jesus angry before when he turned over the money changers' tables. We've seen him have great compassion before. He heals many who come to him. But weeping, this is the first we really see Jesus weeping. Some of those around him say, "See how he loved Lazarus." Perhaps that is why he is weeping. Yet he knew, even in the midst of his tears, that he would be raising Lazarus from the dead. Another important thing to note, I think, is that it was this action, this raising of Lazarus from the dead, it was this story, it was the impetus, if you will, that brought him to the cross. It is the event that peculiarly parallels his own death and ultimately his resurrection. So, that's about as clear as mud, truly. I've come to this scripture. I've brought you to this place in this moment, in this sermon, and all I have done is ask questions and really give no solid answers. Questions upon questions. Jesus cried, and we don't exactly know why. What we do know is that in the faith of death, Jesus, in all his power, And in all of his Son of God glory, he felt anger. He was disturbed. He was troubled and deeply moved, and he grieved. I ask my opening question again, what is a Christian's faithful response to death? I think we see it. I think we see the answer of that question in the way Jesus responded in this story. You know, the Canaanites, they had many gods, and one of their gods was the god of death. They called him Mot. They believed Mot had a giant mouth that swallowed up anything or anyone that came near, even other giant gods. There is a passage in Isaiah that says, Yahweh, our God, the one and only God, will swallow up death. Will swallow up Mot for good. Now, we know that death is not a god named Mot, but there is no denying the power that death has over our lives. It is unwanted, its timing is unknown, and it comes whether we're ready or not, and it comes with a bitter cost. We all know too well the reconstructed lives that we must form after someone dies. The hole they leave in the universe. The world is never the same because that person, that one person, is no longer in it. The pain never gets better, and yet somehow the newness of it, the rawness of it, eventually fades. New normals begin. It matters not if it is what we call a tragic death or if it is what we call, when we try to understand, say, a merciful death, one that ends suffering. It matters not. The truth is, all death, whether tragic or somehow welcomed in the face of pain, the truth is, in all cases, death underscores the reality, the finality of broken relationships. Death is unnatural because it exists. We know that we are no longer in the garden. Death grieves God. Jesus wept. Jesus was greatly disturbed and deeply moved. 1 Corinthians tells us that ultimately death is the final enemy of God and that death will be defeated. You see, Jesus wept. Jesus is resurrected. You see, we live in a strange state of in-betweenness. We are in between the knowledge of death and how to live the most out of the life that we have right now. In other words, how do we give witness to, how do we trust the promise of the resurrection without ignoring the very reality and the pain of death? How do we live into and trust the power of the resurrection? 1 Thessalonians says that we do not grieve the same as those who do not believe in Christ's resurrection. We do not grieve as those who have no hope. Sometimes I think this scripture has been used to hijack our grief, to shame us into not expressing the very real, raw emotions of grief. I do think that we are to state the reality of the disturbing brutality and pain of death. In the same reality of mass violence and hatred, racism, disease, car crashes, or our bodies simply giving out over decades of use, I think in the reality of death, we know and live into the gospel truth. The gospel truth that Jesus does in fact reign. The truth is that we have our hope not on things of this earth, but in the power of the cross of Christ and in the resurrection of those who are his children. Earlier I read these words that Jesus proclaimed. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, those who believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the great Redeemer, those who believe, even though they die, they will live. Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. But he also calls on the community. Do you hear that in those last words there? Do you hear that he calls on the community to remove the last marks of death that are on Lazarus? He says, unbind him. Through Christ, through God, not death, the final word is had. God has the final word. Unbind him and let him go. Lazarus is released and called into light and into life. He is released into the tension of living a life full of hope and truth and knowledge that God does, in fact, defeat death once and for all. He goes from that dark tomb to a new life following Jesus to the cross, following Jesus to his tomb, and following Jesus to his resurrection. All Saints' Day is special. It is sort of an annual memorial service for all of those who have lived a life of faith. But it's more than just that. It is not just to remember those who have died from long ago or those who have died within our recent years. It's not just to point to the ultimate promise of resurrection far off into the future. Though both of those are certainly part of this day and are affirmed in this day. But for me, I think the point of All Saints Sunday, of coming together to celebrate the communion of all of the saints, coming to celebrate the communion of those who have come before, who are here right now, and those who will come again, I think the point is to guide us into following Jesus more closely. The point of this day that we have set aside to be a day of remembrance, the point is to remind us of Jesus' love and of our love for Jesus, of Jesus' love for all people and for our love of all people. The way to honor those saints who have come before, the way to honor those saints who live today, and the way to honor the saints that have not yet come is to live a life of love, to live a life for others. This day is about what all of God's saints have known and experienced, that here and now, right now, there is no death or grief or fear so deep and dark that the voice of Jesus cannot reach into it, cannot call us out, and cannot unbind us through the power of the community and bring us to life. Let us pray. Holy God, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our difficulties of understanding the whys of this life, Lord, we know that you have indeed called us out. You have called us by name. You unbind us from the powers of death. You give us strength through the power of community. And Lord, you bring us into life, a life to live for others, a life to live for you, and ultimately a life of love that will flow out of us and give us great and deep joy, so that we truly then are called blessed. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.